Hello and welcome to the next episode of the Pacers Pod. It's been a little bit of time. Last episode was January 30th, and tonight it is March 12th. The Indiana Pacers are about to take on the Oklahoma City Thunder on the road. We've got 17 games left in the season. The Pacers are currently sitting in 7th place in the Eastern Conference. A game and a half behind 4th place, which is currently held by the Knicks. But essentially, you know, we're still in the same race with the Knicks, the Magic, the 76ers, the Heat, and the Pacers. All five of those teams are kind of jockeying for that 4 through 8 spot in the Eastern Conference as we wind down the season here. And it's been, a lot has happened since the last time I recorded. We had the All-Star break. We've just had, basically the team's been playing about 500 basketball for a couple months now, ever since we made the trade for Pascal Siakam. That's exactly what we've been doing. I believe the Pacers are 12-12 since trading for Siakam. Record-wise, sitting at 36-29 with 17 games left. So 7 games above 500. You know, if we kind of keep up this pace, you know, you're looking at like a 40, I don't know, anywhere from like 43 to 45, 46 win season. And that seems pretty good, considering, you know, where we were last year and the year prior and kind of what the expectations were coming into this season. It feels like we may have peaked with that in-season tournament run and just the explosion of Haliburton. And this, the offense is still first in the league in points. So, you know, we're hanging on, but it feels like this team over the, even honestly, since the Siakam trade, really, and even a little before that, once Tyrese went down with his injury, I think that was against the Celtics. But, you know, it was towards the beginning, middle of January, Tyrese goes down with that, when he did the splits, hurt his hamstring, missed 6, 7, 8, 9 games or so. And it feels like we never have quite got back to where we were prior to that point. And there's been a lot of different reasons, you know. Obviously bringing in a guy like Siakam, a huge focal point of any team, adjusting to him would be one thing. Tyrese coming back from the injury, that's another thing. We were a young team that was, you know, coming into the year, we didn't have the respect that we are probably getting now. And we probably shocked some teams early, and we beat a lot of really good teams early on, beating the Bucks 4 out of 5 times. We beat the Celtics 2 or 3 times, beat the 76ers. Like, the Pacers had a lot of really good wins, made it to the championship of the in-season tournament. And it just felt like it was almost too good to be true. And in a way, I feel like the last couple months have just kind of maybe shown that it might have been a little too good to be true. And that's no fault of the Pacers. I mean, I, as a fan, I'm personally really happy. I'm really happy with where we are. I would obviously like to see that. I think the most frustrating thing for me watching this team is just, it feels like they're a team that is trying really, really hard to be great, and it just doesn't feel like we're quite there yet. And so if we don't play great, it feels like a letdown, and that's a tough place to be in. It's like the expectations, they rose, and then with the Siakam trade, they rose even more, and then we haven't met those expectations yet. And it's still, I mean, we still have 17 games left in the regular season. It would be very disappointing, obviously, if this team didn't make a playoff series. Hopefully we can avoid that 8 spot, playing the Celtics. But I do think, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say. It's hard to say this because this team just really hasn't felt like they felt when we were knocking off those good teams early in the season. But I don't know. It's just a weird spot, I think. And it's been a weird couple months. It just feels like we're kind of in the mud a little bit. And, you know, as I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about tonight, it's like, well, when I'm thinking about the Pacers kind of day to day, what's top of my mind? And the first thing that's top of my mind is just like, on one hand, Tyrese Haliburton has, he's overfed us. I mean, he gave us way more than we asked for, way more than we thought was, for me, I'm speaking for myself. The beginning, this first half of the season, I did not see that from being from Haliburton. And all of a sudden you think, you just start penciling in top five, top 10 player of the year, like in the league. And you think that's what you have. And the fact of the matter is like the past 20, 30 games, ever since the injury really to the Celtics, he's just not been that. And Haliburton has shown like he's human. He's not one of these. He's not a Jokic yet. He's not even like a Tatum necessarily or SGA. Ant Edwards, like these top tier guys, Luka. It's like, yes, Haliburton showed us that he can do that, and I'm happy with that, and I love that. And but it just makes it hard when he's not playing at that level, and then you start looking at this team, and all of a sudden these guys aren't looking quite as great as they once were, and you know. I think that's just kind of okay right now. I mean, Tyrese just turned 24 years old. We know, I don't know if he's currently injured. I don't know, you know, I know he's got something going on with his lower back because you always see him with the back, like back brace on, like during, like when he comes out from halftime or maybe even when he's sitting on the bench, you know, during the game, he puts that back brace on. So something's going on there. And then he obviously had the hamstring injury. But it's just, honestly, since Siakam, I was shocked, actually. I looked this up. Since Siakam came to the Pacers, Tyrese has played 19 games with Pascal. And he's at, you know, in those 19 games, he's averaging 30 minutes a night. His stats are down to 16 points, 9 assists, 3 rebounds. And the big thing is the efficiency, which is the thing that you... That was the case that you could make for Tyrese as being a top five player, top 10 player in the league. The first half of the season was the efficiency that he brought to the table every single night. You know, you're getting 12, 13, 14, 20 assists a night on 0, 1, 2 turnovers. He's a 50, 40, 90 guy, basically. But since the acquisition of Siakam, granted, that was post-injury. But yeah, 16 points, 9 assists, 3 rebounds. 44% from the field, 31% from the three-point line, and 81% from the free throw line. So the percentages have really, really been off. And since the All-Star break, we've played 9 games, and Tyrese is shooting 23% from downtown. And he's putting them up. He's averaging over 7 attempts a night in those 9 games, and they're just not dropping. And you can just see it on Tyrese's face. It's been slightly better the past couple of games. We're coming off of a win against the Magic. There's just not been a lot of smiling with Tyrese, and that's the thing that was just so much fun about the beginning of the season was just the guy was playing out of his mind, and the team was playing out of their mind, and it just, you know, I just wonder, like, is Tyrese feeling the pressure of, you know, the expectations that have kind of been put on this team now. And he has, you know, he's just been so beloved. And he set the bar so high coming out of the gates. Now, I don't think that what we've seen, you know, since the All-Star break or since the Siakam trade is actually the type of player that Haliburton really is. I think he's certainly much better than this. But I think he's having to figure out a lot right now, and I think I know how important it is for him to make the playoffs and to be a winning player, and And that's the thing. If the Pacers can string together some more wins and find them, if they can get into that top six, you know, this we'll look at this season and this will just be a minor little blip on the career of Haliburton. It's nothing to freak out about, in my opinion. It's just I think it's a combination of a lot of different things. Like, you know, adding Siakam, you're trying to get acquainted with somebody who's, you know, he's going to be a focal point of your offense and of your team. I mean, and it's great long term, but you know we've got 24 games of Siakam so far, so we're still in the very early innings of what this team looks like with the addition of Siakam. You know, obviously Haliburton's coming off the injury, so he's dealing with that. He's also dealing with teams scouting him way, way more. I mean, he was getting scouted for sure, but like now they are like the plan is like how do we slow down? How do we stop? How do we disrupt Haliburton? So every night he's not getting anything easy. I mean, really, like the flow of the offense just feels to be. It seems that it's just hard to get. It feels. I think like in the beginning of the season, it was like we were always flowing, all game long, every game, flow, flow, flow. And now it's just like you get it a little bit in spurts, but it's just, I feel like the majority of the time it's just not the same thing. You know, and Tyrese, you know, he's a young guy. I mentioned he just turned 24 years old. He's played great. He's talking about, he signed a max contract. He's getting a ton of attention and recognition from the league and from everybody covering the league. He was one of the it guys of this year. Like, it's like Anthony Edwards. Now everybody loves Anthony Edwards. Tyrese Haliburton. Like everybody loves Tyrese Haliburton. And everybody loved the, like, just like what he was doing. And it's not that he can't handle that pressure. I think it's just like, that's just one other thing along with all these other things. Traded away Buddy Hield. You know, I think that was obviously a business decision for the Pacers. But Buddy was kind of like, I would say Tyrese is probably biggest cheerleader that he had and somebody that he played really well with, somebody he really enjoys as a friend and as a teammate. And so, you know, we traded away Buddy and it's like, okay, I think that was a good decision ultimately, but that's still just, it's like another little thing that stacks in onto all this stuff. And bringing in Pascal Siakam, not only do you have to fit, like learn how to play with him, but you also, the expectations got ratcheted up. So now it's like, no matter how hard you're playing, it's like, you're just not meeting expectations at this point. And I think that's what's been frustrating. I think maybe why the team seems like they're a little frustrated. They're a little tense. They are obviously trying their hardest to win every single game. And putting a ton of pressure. I mean, Rick Carlisle's saying we got 17 games left, and they're like in the locker room and stuff. They're talking like every game is a playoff game already. Like they are ramped up. Like they are putting the pedal to the metal right now as far as intensity. And I don't know. All these things just kind of add up, and it's just like, you know, what we're seeing from Haliburton right now is like he's human. He's not. He's not an MVP candidate at this point. And like, that's okay. I still love Tyrese. There's not many guys in the league that I would consider switching out for Tyrese. And it's just one of those things that like, I think we're going to figure it out, but it's probably just going to take a little bit more time. And you just see it on his face whenever he's playing. Like he just seems, and I did mention like that Magic, we just came off that win with the Magic and it was a great win. I feel like to just kind of give this team something to grab onto and build off of. And tonight in about 40 minutes, they're going to tip off against the number one team in the West now, the Thunder at OKC. Can't wait to watch this game, but at the same time, it's going to be a tough one and we're going to have to get up for it. And it might end up in a loss, even if we play our best basketball and OKC might just, they're just a better team than us most likely right now. we'll just have to see how that goes. But I don't know. I guess, so when I think of, I mean, it's like, the main thing is like Tyrese is, he's struggling right now. We haven't seen the team really vibe the way that they were prior to the Siakam trade. And I guess it's just kind of how it goes. He's also playing for an additional $50 million. So he's got the pressure of making all NBA. And prior to the injury, it was hands down. I mean, it wasn't even a question. Tyrese was in if every single voter would have voted for all NBA January 15th, Tyrese would be, I mean, he was probably going to be a first team all NBA player, if not second. And now I was just curious. I'm like, all right, what, like, who's out there? Like, not just harping on like the last, you know, since Siakam came into the Pacers, but they are like, the all NBA is now a positionless ballot. So they're not doing, it's not just six guards that are going to make it. It's open to the top 15 players in the league. And just off the top of my head, you got Luka Doncic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Anthony Edwards, Giannis, Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, Nikola Jokic, Anthony Davis. There's eight right there that I feel like, okay, those guys are definitely getting over Tyrese at this point. And then he's still in the hunt. I'm not saying he's not going to make all NBA. All I'm saying is, you know, there was a time in the season where it looked like for sure Tyrese was going to get that extra $50 million, and for sure he was going to be an all-NBA type player. And then the injury, and then the trade, and now we're coming back and we're still trying to grind ourselves out of that. So you got those top eight guys, and then here's some other names that are right there. This would take you, when I finish this list, that'll give you 17 guys. Steph Curry, Jalen Brunson, Damian Lillard, Tyrese Maxey, LeBron James, Jaylen Brown, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Karl Anthony Towns, who's actually probably not going to make it because I think he's out. He's probably going to miss the games, but like you could throw in like Rudy Gobert. That's 17 right there. I mean, Tyrese belongs in that conversation for sure, but it's no guarantee that he's going to be an all NBA player, even if he meets the game requirement at this point. So I just feel like all this is probably just kind of weighing in the locker room and on Tyrese. And we just, what I really hope to see these last 17 games is just, I don't need to see Tyrese average 25 and, you know, 12 assists and on two turnovers again at 50, 40, 90. Like, if he doesn't get to that point again by the end of the season, like, that's not necessarily the worst thing. We have Siakam. I think overall our team, I mean, adding Siakam really does make our team a lot better. We just have to figure out how we can reach our best with the pieces that we have now. I just want to see Tyrese figure that piece out of it and find himself again. And it may not be the individual play that he can count on to make himself happy again. It may need to be, you know, the success of his teammates a little bit more. And I don't know, just like, obviously, the shot needs to get better because that's really hurting us right now. So he's in a shooting slump. Get him out of that shooting slump, and let's make some noise in the playoffs. Like, let's get into the playoffs, and we're all going to be really, really happy again. And I think Tyrese can definitely do it. I mean, he's our franchise player. There's no question about that. He's proven that this year by far. But that's just kind of that's honestly one of the main things that I've been thinking about as I've been watching this team the past couple of weeks is just, man, like, what are we, like, how can we get Tyrese back into form? That's essentially it. Another thing I've been thinking about, you know, and I've been talking about Siakam a little bit, you know, in that kind of in relationship to Tyrese, but even though the Pacers are 12-12 since the trade to get Siakam into Indiana, I still feel like that was a great, great move. We haven't quite figured it out yet. Like, it's still rough, but there's no question Siakam is by far the second best player on our team. I think he's going to help us out so much in the playoffs. Just having somebody with that kind of size that you can depend on Siakam has just been, he's a steadying presence out there. When I'm watching the game and he just gets you buckets, he gets you easy buckets. He's really efficient. I'm loving the individual play from Siakam, but I don't love the team. So since we've added Siakam, I don't love the team, but individually with Siakam, I love what he's showing us. I mean, his stats are really, really good. 33 minutes a night. He's played 24 out of 24 games, averaging 21 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 55% from the field, 38 from the three-point line, and his free throws back up to 70%. So he's shooting the three ball better than advertised. He's a 34% guy for his career. He's knocking down 38% with us so far. The 55% from the field and just the size and the pairing next to Turner, I really like, and his ability to play make for others. The assists are nice. He's just a guy that you can go to when you need a bucket. He can exploit mismatches really, really well. He is one thing I didn't know. I've noticed this. I really like this about Siakam is he's got some nasty in him. There's times when he gets into guys. You can tell like he really wants to win, and he comes with a championship ring. He comes with an All NBA season, maybe even two. He's an All Star. You know, like he's got credentials, and he plays the game the right way. And I think he's certainly buying into being a Pacer. And it's just like that was the right move. There's no question about it. That was the right move to make. I think that he is, I shouldn't say there's no question about it, but it at this point, I'm still super happy with the move. I think it was a great move to go out and get a guy like Siakam. And we just have to figure it out. And I think we will. It's just still relatively early. That's the other thing, like mid-season, you're not getting practices together. Like you're figuring everything out, you know, on the court, in games, against teams that have been, I mean, other teams are in similar situations, but at the same time, you know, NBA players are playing like their best basketball now because they've been playing NBA games for 4 or 5 months. You're not going to get away with anything. And it's going to be hard to execute, and you really got to be on it. And like, we don't have that sharpness to our squad at this point. And so I think we're paying for that, not having that. But the Siakam move, obviously, I think it made us feel like, oh, this makes our team better this year. And I still think it does come playoff time. But you're also looking ahead, and I think that's where we're really going to feel the benefits of that trade. It may not. We still have a long time. Like we almost have as long as Siakam's been with the team so far. We about have that much time up until the playoffs come. So hopefully we get 24 more games out of Siakam. That means we made it into the second round of the playoffs. I think, you know, like I said, the team, we're figuring ourselves out every single game, every single day. And we have a ton of pressure internally to show up and win games. And the 1-2 punch of Tyrese and Siakam, it's there, but obviously Tyrese has been struggling a little bit, and I feel like the chemistry between those two is not a well-oiled machine yet. And so it's been a little underwhelming to this point. Like, there hasn't been a lot of moments where you're like, oh man, Haliburton and Siakam, those two guys love playing basketball together. They love being Pacers. They love this team. It's felt more, I don't know, just it's felt more like we're just trying to get a win. Like that's it. And I mean, at the end of the day, that's what you're trying to do. And I think that just comes from the fact that we're just not gelling. We're not vibing at this point in the season as well as you would hope. But we still have time to figure it out. When I think about Siakam, also I'm like, we brought him in with that trade, and the expectation was we're obviously going to sign him this summer to a new contract. And by all accounts, it seems like he's a max player. And so I asked myself the question, am I excited to pay Siakam the max? I would still say yes. Maybe not excited, but at the same time, like, who else are you going to get? And I think he's going to be good for us. And then I say, okay, well, like, what if this season, what if we don't get good vibes going again by the end of the season? And maybe we just make the play-in and not even the playoffs, or, you know what I mean? Like, what if we don't ever get above 500 with Siakam? Let's say we just make the playoffs, or we make a playoff spot, but we get swept in the playoffs. I don't know. It gets a little bit more complicated at that point, because you're thinking, well, I mean, is this the right guy? Is this the right pairing? But we'll see. And we got a lot of time. We still have a lot of time to figure that out. We've got, you know, about a month or so before the playoffs start. There's no question in my mind that Pascal Siakam raises the ceiling of this team. We just need to get our guys back. We need to get Haliburton tuned up a little bit more, knock down those three-pointers again. And everything else I think is going to be fine. I'm not panicking about this team. I just feel like it's been a rough couple weeks, maybe even months. And it feels like we kind of had a letdown. We've kind of been in like a, I don't know if you follow like finances or something. It feels like we're kind of in like a bear cycle right now, where it's just like, oh, this team just seems to be like underperforming. But at the same time, you know, if you look at it glass half full, it's like we're 500 with the guy. Haliburton's been injured. We've had a lot of guys in and out of the lineup. We're still winning games. We're still keeping pace. We're still in the hunt for a home court advantage in the playoffs. It's like, okay. I mean, can't be too sad at this point of the season. I think this is the main thing I'm trying to say. So, all right. Next thing that's on my mind is Benedict Mathurin. And I was really, really interested to see how Mathurin was going to close this season. So after the All-Star break, Aaron Nesmith was out with an injury, and Mathurin started 4 games. And in those 4 games, he averaged 34 minutes, points, 20 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 45% from the field, 48% from 3-point line, 80% from the free throw line. And he looked absolutely dynamic I'm not going to say the entire time during those 4 games, but a lot of the times Mathurin looked like the guy that you would want to, you know, buy his jersey, which I did. And he was making hustle plays. He was making passing. I mean, 4 assists over, it's only a 4-game span, but it's just like, he was doing it all. He was showing how he could be an all-around player. And then he went back to the bench when Nesmith came back, and then it was just kind of disappointing again. The last 3 games that he played, it was just kind of like, kind of what we've seen a lot of, a little too much this season, which is just Mathurin, you know, maybe getting, if the shot's not falling, there's just not a lot to talk about. And that was kind of the case. He did have a game against the Spurs, which the Pacers did lose, where he got to the free throw line 13 times, which was nice. And so I was just wondering at that time, all right, can Mathurin's all-around game that he had showed us, can that translate into a bench role? Into, you know, because he was still getting good minutes coming off the bench. It's not like he wasn't like 18 minutes a night guy. He was like 25, 26, 27 minutes a night. He was getting run. But for some reason, it just seemed like when he was coming off the bench, it's like all he was doing was looking to score. So I was just wondering, like, all right, what can he do? Can he bring some of that all-around game off the bench? And then he missed some games out with the shoulder sprain. And then, unfortunately, we just found out a couple days ago, he's out for the season. He ended up having surgery, or he's having surgery on his right shoulder, and he's out for the season. So no more Mathurin. Year two, cut off, just like that. And that was tough. It was really disappointing to lose out on Mathurin at this point. I do think that at this point in the Pacers' trajectory, it's not as big of a blow as I anticipated being and it would have been in future years to come. I don't think, and it's sad, but that's just because I don't feel like, well, Mathurin just wasn't consistently impactful. Like every game you weren't counting on him to be impactful. It was almost like when he had it, it was great, but there were often times that he didn't have it. So it's just like, okay, well, that kind of sucks, but you know, year two now is in the books and I think about, all right, well, how do I feel about Benedict Mathurin? I've been a big Benedict Mathurin believer, basically just because I want that to be the case. Like I wanted and I want best case scenario for Mathurin to happen as a Pacer. I really thought he would be a great pair next to Halliburton, you know, as like that starting shooting guard with some size and athleticism paired next to Halliburton, who has size, but, you know, certainly isn't like the toughest guy. I thought Mathurin could be that shooting guard next to him. And after 2 years, we just, you know, if I'm looking in the mirror, I just have to say it hasn't been there with Halliburton. There's been, you could probably count on one hand the amount of moments that we've seen Halliburton and Mathurin gelling on the court together, like really like, yes, we're doing this. And that's concerning to me. And it makes me wonder about the long-term fit of Mathurin on this team next to Halliburton. And so I'm certainly not like selling all my Mathurin stock. I just feel like I'm not, I have to take a step back and kind of, I'm not as bullish on the high trajectory of Mathurin as I once was, I believe. And I hope that I mean, he's still young. I think he's about to turn 22. Like he could have a breakout third year and I would be all on board for it. I'm not mad or upset about Mathurin. I still want him on this team, but at some point you have to say like, all right, maybe this guy is not going to be Anthony Edwards. Maybe this guy is not going to be Dwayne Wade. And that's all I'm saying. I'm just going to say, okay, maybe this guy isn't going to be the best player on our team one day. Just because of what we've seen so far. And that's what you got to go with. I feel like after 2 years, it's not that you don't want to pigeonhole the guy after 2 years, but you also have to take into account like what's actually been done. And he's shown flashes of being really, really good and really special. And hopefully there's more of that to come. This year he did, like the shooting was much better. The passing was much better, but there's still so much room to improve on his game. So, you know, maybe what'll happen with him having to sit out and just watch, maybe he'll start to pick up on a few things that he didn't necessarily, you know, get before the injury, just seeing the game from the sideline. Maybe this will be kind of a blessing in disguise to just kind of settle him down a little bit and then bring him back hungrier than ever next season. And that's kind of what we're hoping for. So I'm still a Ben Mathurin fan. And it does suck to see him go down, but at the same time, for this season, I don't think it necessarily affects the Pacers that much, just because of the role that he was occupying. I don't feel like it's going to be that hard to fill in, but I would certainly rather have Mathurin on the court and suited up than not. But I just think like, you know, 2 years from now, I would love to see him be like a starter, and this type of injury might really set you back. Whereas right now, I think we can probably weather the storm. And I don't think that this team necessarily can't play better than what we've been playing lately with him out. And I think a big reason why we could maybe fill this gap, and I'm not going to put all the pressure here on this one player, but Ever since I saw Ben Shepherd play any minutes, the one thing that stood out to me was the way he moves on the basketball floor. He's so fast. He plays so hard, and he's got great size. He's a springy player. He's a joyful player. He's a ball mover. He is in a lot of ways kind of opposite to Benedict Mathurin, and I don't necessarily know if Shepherd's going to end up carving out like a six-man role on this team for the rest of the season, but I think I wouldn't mind that being, you know, the outcome. I love what he brings on both ends of the floor. He is a great three-point shooter. He is, you know, as a defender, he's really quick. He's really tough. He's in position almost all the time. And I love seeing, that's one of the bright spots over the past couple, you know, weeks or months has just been when Shepherd's on the court. I've really enjoyed watching him play. And I just wonder and hope, you know, can he do more for us? Can he get more aggressive with his shot? Like, I was looking this up. What was it? I think he's only averaging like, when did I look this up? It might have been from the All-Star game. I mean, he's been in the rotation for a little while now. What was that? Okay, yeah. So since the All-Star break, so it's been 9 games, he's averaging 5 field goal attempts a game. And I'm thinking, for these last 17 games, if Shepherd's going to continue to get the type of run that he's getting, get more aggressive. Like get instead of 5 attempts a night, let's see like 7, 8, 9, 10 attempts a night. Like let it fly, because he is a shooter. He's a guy that can score the basketball, and I just want to see him. I love the fact that he passes the ball a lot, but at the same time, like, we need some scoring punch, especially off the bench now with Mathurin gone. So, like, let it fly, Ben. And if he lets it fly and he knocks him down the way that he's been knocking him down lately, he's going to start really getting people excited. And I feel like at this point in the season and when he's out there, he kind of plays like, I'm not going to say that he plays like he doesn't think he belongs out there, but he plays like he doesn't want to mess it up. So, you know, I'd be interested to see like how many turnovers he's had, because I bet it's probably pretty low. You know, he's taking the shots when he's wide open, and he's not making things happen as much as, you know, I would like to see him just kind of lean into that a little bit more and maybe shed some of that don't mess it up mentality for more like I'm going to make things happen mentality. And let's just kind of shift it there and not be afraid to make some mistakes. And maybe that's a product of, I'm sure it's a product of like, he wants to be on the court. And the one way to get off the court is to turn the ball over or, you know, take bad shots. Like that's going to get you off the floor. So I may be speaking against, you know, what he's being coached to do, but just as a fan watching the games, that's one thing I'm hoping to see these next couple weeks as we ride out the season here with Ben Shepherd is like, turn up that aggressive meter a little bit more on the offensive end. And yeah, I think that would be awesome for Shepherd. I mean, the guy's about to be, he'll turn 23 in July. So he's still a young dude. Obviously he's a rookie. It just feels good when he's on the court. So I want to see him out there more. I've never really seen a Shepherd shot I didn't like. So I'd like to see him shoot until I start to wish he wouldn't into some degree. But so Shepherd's just been a great addition, a great surprise. One of the bright spots this second half of the season has been Ben Shepherd. So once again, hats off to the Pacers front office for making that draft pick. And, you know, with Shepherd and, I don't know, guys like Nembhard was picked kind of in that range. And those four-year guys, they come in and they're ready to go. And they play basketball in a very solid, team-oriented way. And it's just been, it's been great seeing Shepherd. I guess, you know, just kind of going more like, okay, so as we go into the playoffs, hopefully this team can, we figure it out. We start to figure it out. I think we've got some veterans that are primed and ready to go. Miles Turner, about to turn 28 years old. He's been super solid all season long. Actually, really the past two seasons, Turner's been great with what he does. And I really like the pairing of Siakam and Turner. Since Siakam's joined the Pacers, Turner's had 21 games with him. And he's averaging 17 points, 7 rebounds, 1.7 blocks on 50% from the field, 33 from three, 74% from the free throw line. It's about all you can ask for, really, with Miles Turner. And I think he's one of those guys that's like, at this point in his career, you can just kind of count on Miles to do those types of things. We don't necessarily need Miles to drop 29. But sometimes he does, and it's great because usually if he gets that many points, he's not missing many shots. He's not a guy that, necessarily puts up a ton of field goal attempts. He kind of just plays within the system. And Miles has just been a steadying force this year. And he's been, I don't know, I guess I would say he's gonna be in a contract year next year, and I still don't necessarily know, is this the best center for our team, 3 years from now? But there's a lot of other areas that we need to improve on that I don't feel like you could do. I guess what I'm saying, it's like you can do way worse than Miles Turner at the center position, and so I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed Miles. He's been available, which is, obviously very, very important. He hasn't missed a ton of games. And so, yeah, I'm here for Miles Turner. TJ McConnell, another vet. He's been so damn good. It's been absolutely bananas to watch TJ the past couple weeks, months. He's been even better lately. There was times, whenever we were doing really good at the beginning of the season, I don't know this for a fact, but when I'm going off a feel, I think there were certainly games that McConnell wasn't playing. Like, he was getting DNPs. He wasn't necessarily in the rotation. But we've been seeing a lot more McConnell. We've been seeing McConnell come in a lot earlier in the games. Part of that's just because the team's been struggling out of the gates, and McConnell's just like a shot of adrenaline into the pace and into the energy. And we've also been seeing a lot of McConnell, Haliburton at the same time. And that made me think about, Rick Carlisle, obviously the coach. And I think back to when the Mavericks, when Carlisle was with the Mavericks and they won that championship back in 2011, I believe it was. There were a lot of times, when Carlisle would play so I guess here's the thing. I was thinking TJ McConnell is kind of like the Pacers version of what JJ Barea was for the Mavericks. Just kind of like an undersized, scrappy guard that just played the right way. And, if you were going to start the year, you would never put Barea as your starting shooting guard or point guard or whatever next to Kidd. But it just so happens that the guy plays basketball in a way that makes your team do well. And so, I don't know, it's just the thought I had of, I wonder if Carlisle ever looks at McConnell, especially, and I thought about it since he's been playing with Tyrese a lot. It's other teams are, like I mentioned, they're scheming hard on Tyrese, trying to get the ball out of his hands. So it's all right, well, adding McConnell out there, even though he doesn't shoot the ball well, he can handle the ball, he can penetrate, he can create offense off the dribble. And he can basically kind of be like what Tyrese does when Tyrese is being shut down. So it's interesting. I just wonder how that's going to play out. Since the All-Star break, McConnell's just been balling so hard. 9 games. In these nine games, he's averaging 20 minutes a night. In those 20 minutes, McConnell's given us 13 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 turnover, almost a steal and a half a game. And he's doing it on 62% from the field. So He just is really, really good at getting to the hoop, getting into like, you know, penetrating the defense and either pulling up and knocking down the shot or kicking out and getting other guys open or finding guys cutting to the basket after he's kind of collapsed the defense. He's really good at that too. At this point, McConnell is, I don't see how he doesn't play in the playoffs. He's in the rotation, in my opinion, when this team makes the playoffs. The other veteran I could think of was Doug McDermott, you know, came over in the trade. It's been pretty, I don't know. I mean, frankly, McDermott, he hasn't played in the past like 5 or 6 games because of injury. I don't know when he's coming back. And when he did play for us, you know, the 3-point shot hasn't been falling. And so it's just one of those things where it's been tough to see. But I don't know. Maybe we see some more Doug McDermott in these last 17 games, and maybe he gives us something, maybe he doesn't. As we head into the playoffs with veterans, I think with Miles and with McConnell, those guys are ready. How about our young guys? How about Aaron Nesmith? Aaron Nesmith coming off an injury. I feel like he's working his way through the roughest part of his year so far, but he had a really good game against the Magic. And when you look at his splits, you know, on the year, even after, you know, a couple hard games in a row, he's still shooting 50% from the field and 45% from the 3-point line. Aaron Nesmith is probably the nastiest guy on the team, the toughest guy on the team. He leads the team in charges drawn, which I was shocked at this. I thought for sure, I mean, so the league leader for charges drawn is Brandon Bodzinski, I think is his last name. He's a rookie for the Golden State Warriors. He's drawn 33 charges this year, which is really good. I think he had like a five charge lead on like second place. So I'm scrolling down the list. All right, because I was thinking Nesmith has got to be leading the Pacers. Scrolling. I finally get to the first Pacer. It is indeed Aaron Nesmith. But it's only 6. So this whole season, he's only drawn 6 charges, but he is leading the Pacers in charges drawn. But, so I was a little shocked that number was so low. But at the same time, Nesmith just plays with, he's a competitor. It's like, he feels like if we were gonna submit one of our players to join, you know, like the movie 300, like a soldier, it feels like you would put that helmet on Aaron Nesmith and trot him out there as like leading the team. He just competes. He's in it. He doesn't take shit from anybody. He just plays basketball really hard. And it's been, when he's knocking down the 3-point shot, it's honestly, to me, it's almost just as simple as that. If he's knocking down the 3-point shot at a reliable rate, which 45% is plenty reliable, I want him out there. I love him as a starter, and I feel like he can be a starter on a really good team. He's not going to be, you know, one of your top scoring options, but he just has to be able to hit that 3-point shot consistently, and he's been doing that this year. It's whenever that shot's not falling, and the team looks sluggish offensively, that it really feels like, is Nesmith a starter long-term for this team? I don't know. The question comes into my mind. But right now, there's no question about it. He is. And he's just been a very, very bright spot this year. And once again, I mentioned this before, and if you're listening to this Pacer podcast, you probably know that the Pacers signed him to, so for the next 3 years, we've got him under contract at like $11 million a year. So, Even if we get crazy development out of Mathurin and Jairus Walker, say 3 years from now, and Nesmith has to move to the bench and he's a role player, that's the kind of role player you want if you want to be a title contending team. You want a guy like Nesmith coming off the bench, you know. But until then, it's his spot for the taking, and he's owning it. So I think Nesmith's going to be ready. I can't wait to see the guy. I love him on this team. He's invaluable. Andrew Nembhard, the other starter. I feel like when you pair Nembhard and Nesmith in the starting lineup, it leaves me wanting more. However, if I look at them individually, I can make a case for both of them being starters. But Nembhard is just rock solid. He's kind of like, he's just a glue guy that doesn't make a ton of mistakes. He's got the fundamentals down. He gets to the paint. He finds guys. He does a little bit of everything. I was a little surprised the rebounding numbers from Nembhard are not that great. But he takes the toughest defensive assignment on the perimeter, no question about it. He brings toughness. He brings grit. He's kind of like Nesmith in the sense that, you know, he's not going to get bullied around out there. I think the one thing that, you know, I would love to see from Nembhard is just, especially with him as a starter, is just to turn up that scoring just a tad, just a little bit more, be a threat offensively. I feel like he's reluctant to shoot threes. He shoots them when he's wide open, but he's a reluctant three-point shooter. He's decent at it. And then the only thing that I feel like he's really comfortable at doing is just, you know, bringing the ball into around the free throw line, mid-range area, and just kind of pulling up. And he's really good at that, and we take that. But he does that, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a game. And, you know, he ends up with 8 points a night. And as a starting shooting guard, on a high-powered offense, it feels like, you know, maybe there could be a little bit more there. One other thing I was, you know, really surprised at with Nembhard, and this goes to just show, like, kind of how timid is not the word to use. I think he's playing within, you know, we got Halliburton's very ball dominant. You got Siakam, who's got the ball. Turner's going to get shots. I know that Nembhard is not, his role is not to be the primary scorer or hunt shots necessarily, but like, he never, hardly ever gets to the free throw line. I was looking back over the last 15 games, that's like 430 minutes of on-court time for Andrew Nembhard. He's only shot 3 free throws. And that is absolutely insane. That's like, I think it's like 0.2 free throw attempts a game during these, and it wasn't like, this has just been like an anomaly of the season. I mean, he does not shoot free throws basically, period, but especially these last 15 games. And I was curious, I was like, all right, if Nembhard's only been to the free throw line 3 times in the last 15 games, what's a guy who has a similar role on the team? I would consider Aaron Nesmith kind of like him and Nembhard. I look in at through the same lens. Those guys are kind of interchangeable in my mind a little bit. Aaron Nesmith, you know, in these same 15 games, or the last 15 games that he's played, I don't remember what I looked up here, but like, he's been to the free throw line 40 times. So it's like, it's not a ton of free throw attempts, but he's getting to the line a couple times a night. Whereas Nembhard, only 3 free throw attempts in 15 games is just, it's a little underwhelming. And so like, how do I feel about Nembhard as a starter long-term, starter closer on this team? Well, I guess I'd have to say, I think at this point, I don't know who I would necessarily put in front of him with the current roster, but if I'm being honest, in the years to come, I would like to see, unless Nembhard's game drastically changes, like, I'd probably like to see somebody else come in and kind of take that starting spot to give this team, that starting unit especially, a little bit more firepower. So, yeah. But I like Andrew Nembhard. I like how he's been playing, and I'm excited to see how he finishes out the season. Jalen Smith, another young guy, another bright spot, you could say, on this team. Certainly shooting the 3 ball a lot better this season. I might be on an island with this take, but I personally am just, and I have feelings like this might look bad in the future, but I'm ready to move on from Jalen Smith. And I think a lot of it has to do with just, I don't necessarily trust what's going on between the ears. And like, I watch him play. He's a guy that when he's going good, he's really good. And he's like, God, look at that. Look at this guy's athleticism and his body and his 3-point ability and his rebounding ability and his toughness, like his ability to grab offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds, He's got touch. Like, he's a lottery pick. He's 23, 24 years old, whatever it is. But more often than not, I feel like he's just kind of in his own little world. And I just don't see it. And he's been very inconsistent as far as availability. There's been 9 different times throughout this season so far that he hasn't been available, whether that be for injury or sickness or personal reason. I don't know. He's played 45, so he's missed 20 games. He's played 45 out of our 65 games. And it's like, he's probably our best option right now as like a backup big. Like, I'm not going to argue with anybody that would say Jalen Smith's way better than Isaiah Jackson. I personally prefer Isaiah Jackson, but I just don't feel like Jalen Smith's the guy. I don't know. I certainly wouldn't want to pay him $15 million a year or something like that. I don't know. That's just me. It seems like all the antics that he has, and they all seem to be only about what he's doing. It's all about the bad call that he gets called for, ref calls a foul on him and he doesn't think it's a foul, and then they do it again, and now he's gone. He's lost. He's punching a stationary bike or something. I don't know. He's just odd. He seems odd from a distance. And I don't know. That's Jalen Smith. That's my Jalen Smith take. Obi Toppin, I'm here for it. I love Obi Toppin. I've really enjoyed Obi Toppin as a bench player. It makes such a world of difference bringing him off the bench. And it's like, let's see if he's got it. And when he does, it's lights out. He's like, I wrote this down. Yeah, 40%. 40% three-point shooter. He gets you a ton of easy buckets. He's an energizer, kind of like a power forward energizer, the way that McConnell can get you those inbound steals, Toppin can get you those fast break dunks or those oops. He had a really nice, like a rebound put back dunk against the Magic where he just floated forever, waited for the ball and then just slammed it home. He's been really nice. I've loved the addition of Toppin. Certainly I like him over, you know, like a Chris Duarte, who we ended up basically, I mean, we didn't trade directly, but we got 2 second round picks for Duarte, and then we used those to get Toppin. I don't know what it looks like long term. I don't know the kind of money that Toppin's going to get next year. I know he's not guaranteed, like he doesn't have a contract for next season. I would love to see is Toppin, like with Mathurin now out for the season, there's going to be some more opportunity off the bench, especially during the regular season here, for some field goal attempts to go somewhere. I'd love to see Toppin grab a couple of those and, you know, really show that he's a guy that can contribute consistently off the bench and make a strong case for the Pacers to want to get this guy for a couple more years. That's my take. I mean, he's got great size and athleticism. He's 25, I think. So, I'm for it. I like Obi, and I'm excited to see what this team looks like. You know, especially the bench without Mathurin. I would love to see Mathurin, but he's not going to be here. So, how do we recalibrate now? And I could see Toppin getting a bigger role. Ijax, like I said, I've said I like Ijax over Jalen Smith, but at the same time, he's got his flaws. Like, there's for sure. Jalen Smith's going to knock down that 3-point shot. Isaiah Jackson's going to hold it and wait for a guard to come get the ball. But Isaiah's got, I don't know. I just like Isaiah Jackson's, you know, game a little bit better. But I'm not the coach. And on the depth chart right now, he is behind Miles Turner and Jalen Smith, and he is currently drawing a lot of DNPs, and that's just how it is. So that's how it is. Last guy, Jairus Walker. We've seen him a little bit more lately. I think we'll probably see him a little bit more as we close out the season. I kind of like Ben Shepherd. My eyes are fixated on Jairus Walker when he's out there. I would love to see him jump into the rotation somehow. I want to be very optimistic about Jairus long-term. And this year, we'll just kind of see how it plays out. It's probably going to end up being similar to how it's been so far, where, you know, he might get tossed out there, and if he makes some stuff happen, he gets some more run, and if he doesn't, then he's, you know, he gets like a 3-minute. I think that's what happened against the Magic. He went in there in the first half, and then he didn't play in the second half. So he's not like in the rotation at this point. It would be great if he played himself into the rotation the last 17 games, but I just want to see more Jairus. Every time I get to see him play, I'm happy about that. And so that's the roster. And I think, you know, with 17 games left in the season, my hopes and dreams are that Haliburton smiles more and more and more all the way to the playoffs. The energy of the team, the vibes, they get cranked back up to where we were, you know, back in like December. We get a shot in the arm of adrenaline from Ben Shepherd. We see a rookie breakout here last part of the season. Aaron Nesmith continues, or, you know, last game against the Magic, he hit like 4 or 5 threes. So I'm saying continue, but prior to that, he'd really been struggling from three. But Aaron Nesmith offense, Andrew Nembhard offense, turn it up a little bit. And the Haliburton and Siakam chemistry, let's start to get that going. Let's start cooking. Let's start getting into position to get in the top six of the Eastern Conference. Let's not mess around with the play-in. And then we're matching up against, you know, Milwaukee or Cleveland. If we can get that sixth spot, Milwaukee or Cleveland in the first round. And I like that. But I'll get on here again before the playoffs for sure. But upcoming, we've got the Thunder, which it's 8:07, so that game is probably tipped off at the very moment right now. So that's going to be a tough one at OKC. Then we come home to play the Bulls. We're home for the Nets, and then we're home for the Cavs. So obviously the Thunder are number one in the West. The Bulls are like in the ninth spot in the East. The Nets are, they're down there like 11, 12, 13 in the East. And then the Cavs are like in the second spot. So two tough ones, two that we definitely needed to win. I'm going to shoot for the moon here. Let's call it 3 out of 4. And if we can go 3 out of 4, we should be making moves up the standings, I would think. And we'll go from there. So I think that's all I got. That is all I've got. Thank you for checking out the Pacer Pod. I am a connoisseur of Pacers podcast number one. And I just want to give a quick shout out. I found a new podcast. It's called The Pacers Post Up. And if you like Pacers stuff, I've really been enjoying what these guys have been putting out. So it's called The Pacers Post Up. And then also, I'm a regular listener of Setting the Pace. Hats off to those guys. It's very nice to have Pacers content every day to check out if you want it. So, yeah, that is going to be the episode for today. Hopefully, everybody's doing great. And we'll see where we go from here. So, go Pacers, go. Peace and love, everybody.